A woman whose name is Abhor is brought up by her father to be his lover. She is raped, so to speak. Her father disappears off the island of Ithaca. Years later, the Algerians are taking over the city of Paris. At the end of this Algerian revolution, Abhor is wandering down by the Seine. She sees an old white man, a dead man, lying in a boat. This, she believes, is her father. Abhor says the following. The long postponed realization of my dream, conceived in the confines of the cursed, obliterated city. Hitching myself to the yoke, joining the horde of dervish camp followers and ex-whores trailing along in the wake of the North African, mainly Moroccan, infantry women and soldiers of the Legion, throwing away my useless high-heeled shoes, sinking my bare feet into the delicate ripples of the sands of what once must have been a city, Paris. Lifted, lifted, thick sand dunes, walking on and on, losing myself in the desert. As if dreams were coming true. My dream, finally. Passing by the Restaurant de l'Union, the Matam El Jouria, the Derb Sabahi, with footsteps as supple and stealthy as those of a lover whom you believe you trust and who's actually secretly poisoning you. For what reason? As if you are still 19 years old and horny as hell. As if. This is your fortune, girl. A refuge has lent itself to 1,001 love duels. Each love was a tale, because a tale. Strong bodies have excited and refused you. This will happen again. Everything will happen again. Within some drowsy Portuguese city, whose streets and intersections are deserted, in the full heat of the sun, you will meet a sailor. His dong itself will be a rebel against its tremendous nodding weight. As far as sailing goes. As for the victims of the negligence, boredom, and addiction of the owners, the French and the English owners who've come down in this world, as for those former owners, all humans and animals now sail over the same seas. You're here now, at last. I've been waiting for you for what seems like a really long time. For a second, for a minute, for an hour, for a day, for a month, for a year. I knew you were going to come back to me, to the exact spot where we first met, in a river, in my cunt. I'm sopping wet. Let's fuck on the top of this fountain, splashing the waters of hydrochloric acid into my nostrils. Daddy, pull off my fingernails. My back has been carved into roses. You scream that it's not only by you, as if you're still alive, or as if I'm not dreaming, as if I really possessed you, and you really possessed me. We tore off each other's heads and ate out the contents, then pecked out the remaining eyes, pulled out the shark's teeth and sucked opium out of the gums. My vagina was bleeding. And I said to my father, the sailor, let's not be possessed. But like the rain, blood will always continue. Finally, it didn't matter in that driving rain that everyone was staring at us. Finally, it didn't matter that my squawks and our screeches of blood made the lunatics high up behind their asylum-barred windows mad. I alive and you dead, together will warm the bones of tombs. We together set splinters under there, the owner's fingernails, then lit them up. We together made their dead bodies, shrouded in soil, into our beds. Only because they're dead, they envied our love, which has been agony. We'll make the whole graveyard our playground, because we're playing with ourselves. Then there'll be nowhere left to set on fire. Soon, there was nowhere left to set on fire. We wanted to travel like sailors, but we had one living body and one dead body. The graveyard perished when you were buried in it. End. But what did I have left? Is a former victim an owner or nothing? From death, the place of your death, you said that I, your daughter, would be nothing. But now my mind and the inside tips of my fingers and my lips and my mouth are blood. Here I am, Daddy, my love, waiting for you to come. When I woke up out of this insane dream, I realized that Daddy's dead body, Daddy, was lying in some lousy Algerian hospital for the dead. Stinking flies were probably eating it up. Why'd he kill himself? My partner asked. My partner looked dead himself. Why's anyone kill herself? Free of my dream, I shrugged. I don't know. If anyone knows, you know. I examined my own blood. He'd been trying to kill himself for a long time. It had taken him a long time, because he was a tedious old fuck. Christ. Since he was now a tedious dead fuck, the new Algerian doctors were keeping him in a repulsive hospital in order to conduct experiments. My partner and I knew that if they kept him in that hospital long enough, he'd die. I had to get Daddy out of the hospital. Biker Mags had informed me that medical prisoners can escape their prisons only by faking death, in a manner such as this. Prison authorities usually bury the prisoners who they've tormented to death in mine shafts. In order to make sure that each corpse is really a corpse, they beat in each corpse's skull. But usually, instead of beating in the corpses, they fuck the corpses and leave. It's no good beating about the bush. Most of the prisoners, after they've been beaten and tormented, prefer giving head to being dead. Then, the now homosexual prisoner, who's still alive, escapes. If Daddy became dead, I wouldn't be able to give him head anymore. I had to rescue him out of the evil hospital by making him go through his own death. I told my partner all this. All I want to know is who's going to do the rescuing, was what my partner replied. He was cynical right down to the junk in his bones. Whoever gives the best head? My partner, attractive like a junkie, got the medical student who was in charge of wheeling corpses for purposes of hospital household decoration to fall in love with him. The young boy wheeled a corpse straight out of a window. The corpse was Daddy. Night. Daddy fell right into my arms. I was crying. In the nightmare of my mind, I desperately clung to that body as if it was alive. Like a shipwrecked sailor, I desperately clung to life. My partner was no better, junk to the gills, but still human, not fish enough to swim through the depths of dreams. Sailors have huge dicks. Sailors have no hair and big arms. But reality is something else. Reality is enough to make you crazy. For the loss of my dear love, I scream. His rotting body lay on the concrete, cut away, slouching over, bent almost double over a stinking hole, enduring this brutal mistreatment. Stench, flies blind you, brush them away with useless arms. There was nothing to do. My partner and I went and got tattooed, carved into roses.